It's a little after 10 on a Friday night, and Andre is still at the office of the small nonprofit he runs, the lights off in every room but his. He is, by a mile, the most giving person anyone there knows. He drives the van when the driver calls out. He writes the grant at midnight. He takes the phone call from the family in crisis on a Sunday, because who else will? And tonight, sitting alone at his desk, Andre feels something that scares him a little. He feels resentful, tired in a way sleep doesn't fix. Quietly angry at the very people he's giving everything to. And then, right on schedule, the guilt. Because, aren't you supposed to feel good about this? Here's what nobody warns a keeper about, and if you lead anyone, I need you to hear it. The burned-out giver in the story is usually you. The one holding all the giving for everybody else is the one running dry. So tonight isn't about teaching Andre to care more. He cares plenty. It's about a harder thing. How do you lead the giving in a place without becoming the one who pays for all of it? Hold on to Andre. This whole episode is built around his question, and the answer is the opposite of what he's been doing. So let's name exactly what's happening to Andre, because it's happening to good keepers everywhere. When you care about a place, and you're the one in charge, there's a pull, a strong one, to become the giving yourself. A need shows up, and you fill it. Another one, you fill that too. Someone's short, you cover it. The van breaks, you drive. And every time you do, it works. The need gets met, the person walks away, helped, and you feel, for about an hour, like a good keeper. But look at the shape of it. The giving is flowing out of one body, yours. You didn't build a generous place. You became a one-person charity that the whole place draws from. And here's the cruel little secret of that shape. The better you are at it, the faster it kills you. The more capable the keeper, the more the place leans on him. The harder he pours, the sooner he's empty. Andre isn't burning out because he's bad at this. He's burning out because he's good at it, and good at the wrong thing. He turned himself into the jar, and a jar that one person fills while everyone else just holds out a cup, that jar runs dry every time. By design. Book 3 draws a line here that, once you see it, you can run your whole life's work by. There's charity. One person fills the jar, many people take from it. And there's the flow, where everyone both puts something in and draws something out, so the jar keeps refilling itself. Now hear me clearly, because keepers get this part twisted. Charity is not the enemy. Sometimes a one-way gift is exactly what a moment needs. A family with nothing tonight needs a meal tonight, not a lesson about the flow. Book 3 honors that. But charity as your whole model, as the way you run a place, day after day, year after year, has a flaw built right into its shape. It always, always empties the giver. And when the giver is the keeper, the place doesn't just lose a meal when he finally falls over. It loses its center. So here's the freeing part, and I want it to land. You cannot fix a tired keeper with a pep talk, or a weekend off, or remember your why. Those treat the keeper as the problem. The keeper was never the problem, the shape was, and a shape, unlike a heart, is a thing you can actually change. So here is the move that gives a keeper his life back, and it's small to say and hard to do. Your job is not to be the giving. Your job is to start the giving moving between other people, and then step out of the middle. Watch the difference in Andre's own building. The old Andre hears that a family needs a move this weekend, and he shows up Saturday with his own truck and his own back, alone, and he's wrecked by Sunday. The new Andre hears the same thing, and instead of grabbing his keys, he remembers that the guy from the Tuesday group just bought a truck and is itching to feel useful, and that the two teenagers who hang around the front desk have nothing to do Saturday. So he makes three phone calls. He gives away almost nothing of his own. An introduction, a time, a you two would be good at this. And Saturday the move happens, and Andre's home with his kids. Look at what changed. The need still got met. But the giving didn't flow out of Andre and vanish. It flowed between the people he serves, and it tied three of them together who didn't know each other before. The old way? Andre gave it back. The new way? Andre gave a connection. And a connection keeps giving long after his back would have given out. Now, here's where this gets specifically about you, the keeper, and not just about being a nicer helper. Because there's a sneaky trap even in connecting people, and it's that you can become the jar all over again, just in a new costume. If every match in your whole place runs through your head and your phone, if you're the only one who ever notices that this person has a thing and that person has a need, then congratulations, you've made yourself the giving once more. The day you're sick, nothing moves. You didn't build the flow. You built a U-shaped bottleneck with extra steps. So the real keeper's job, the book three job, isn't to make the matches. It's to teach your people to make the matches, to make noticing contagious. You do the first few introductions out loud, on purpose, where everyone can see how it's done. Hey, you have eggs, she needs eggs, you two should talks, and then you praise it like crazy every single time someone else does it without you. You're not the matchmaker. You're the one teaching 100 people to be matchmakers. That's the whole shift, and it's the difference between a coach and a hero. A hero scores the points. A coach builds a team that scores without him on the floor. Your win isn't a great match you made. Your win is the match that happened in your place last week that you never even heard about. Because the flow has started running on its own. Let me bring in something old here, because keepers sometimes worry this all sounds soft, like a feeling instead of a fact. It isn't. People have understood a hard piece of this for a very long time. When scholars went and studied how giving worked in older cultures all around the world, the gift-giving traditions, the passing of things hand-to-hand, they kept finding the same strange rule turn up again and again. The rule was this: a gift has to keep moving. You're not meant to clutch a gift and lock it in a drawer. When a gift keeps traveling, person to person to person, it stays alive and it grows. The moment someone hoards it and stops the flow, it goes stale and dies in their hands. Now sit with how that lands on a keeper. When you make yourself the one who holds all the giving, you're not being extra generous. You are, without meaning to, the place where the gift stops moving. The flow dead ends in you. And a gift that dead ends doesn't just tire you out. It quietly loses its life for everyone. The most generous thing a keeper can do isn't to give the most. It's to keep the most moving. Your generosity isn't measured by how much pours out of you. It's measured by how much keeps flowing because of you, with you barely in the picture. Now I can hear the pushback, and for a keeper, it's the loud one, so let's not dodge it. You might be thinking, "That's a lovely idea, Jenny, but you don't know my place. If I step back, it falls apart. I've tried. I let go of one thing and it dropped. These people need me. I'm the only one who actually does it right. Good. Hold that, because it's the most honest fear a keeper has, and I'm not going to wave it away. Half of it is even true. Yes. If you step back today, all at once, from a place that's been trained for years to run entirely through you, things will drop. Of course they will. But notice what that proves. It doesn't prove the people can't carry it. It proves you taught them not to. Every time you swooped in and did it yourself, fast and perfect, you taught your place one quiet lesson: don't bother, he's got it. You didn't build helplessness on purpose, but you built it. So the answer isn't to keep being the jar because stepping back hurts. The answer is to teach your way out of the very thing you taught them into, slowly, one hand off at a time. And here's the part the fear hides from you. The keeper who can never step back hasn't built something strong. He's built something that dies the day he does. A place that falls apart without you isn't your monument. It's the proof you are running charity, not building the flow. Strong isn't, they can't do it without me. Strong is, they barely need me anymores. And a keeper who can say that has actually won. Let's stay with why this works, because it goes deeper than just saving the keeper's back. When Andre stops being the jar and starts being the one who keeps it moving, something happens that he never expected. The place starts giving to him. The truck guy who helped the family move? He needed to be needed, and Andre handed him that. The teenagers? They found out they're good at something, and that they belong somewhere. The family that got moved shows up at the next thing, no longer just takers, ready to put something in themselves. And one ordinary Tuesday, Andre's own car won't start, and three people he barely had to ask are already in the parking lot. The giving he started moving came all the way around and filled his cup too, because here's the deep thing under all of it. In the charity shape, only the keeper matters. Everyone else is just someone he helps, a cup to be filled. In the flow shape, everyone matters because everyone has something to put in. And being needed, having something real to give, is one of the quiet, deep hungers in every person. So when you teach your place to keep it flowing, you're not just lightening your own load. You're handing every person in it the one thing they were starving for, a place where they're not just helped, but needed. That's the secret a burned-out keeper can't see. The shift that saves you is the exact same shift that finally gives everyone else a reason to stay. All right, let's bring this all the way home. To you, the one actually holding something together right now, because this stays a nice story about Andre until you put your own place in it. So let me ask you three honest questions and actually stop on each one. First, where are you, the jar? Where in the thing you lead is the giving flowing out of you? Your hours, your phone, your back, while everyone else just holds out a cup. Be honest, there's at least one. Second, what's one thing you do yourself, every time, fast and perfect, that you could instead teach someone else to do, and praise them loudly when they do? Not because you're too busy, because doing it for them is quietly keeping them small and keeping you trapped. And third, the one I really want you to sit with, who in your place is hungry to be needed and you've never once given them the chance. The quiet one, the new one, the one you've only ever helped, never asked. Be still a second. You probably just saw a face. That face isn't a burden you have to carry. That face is the person who could carry a piece of this with you. If you'd stop being so good at doing it all yourself and let them in. So here's your one thing this week, and I want to be clear about what it is and what it isn't. It is not a test. Don't go grading yourself, tallying up every place you've been the jar, feeling like a failure. This is a give, plain and simple. And notice, the give is the hard part for a keeper, because what you're giving away is control. Here it is, in three small moves. 1. Pick one thing you always do yourself. One task, one little job that runs through you, and this week, give it to someone else. Not the easiest person, someone who'd grow from being trusted with it. Hand it over and then, this is the part that'll make your skin crawl. Let them do it their way, even if it's slower, even if it's not how you'd do it. 2. When they do it, praise it out loud, where others can hear. Make it visible that this is a place where people step up and it gets noticed. 3. Make one match you, then step out of, connect two people who should know each other, and don't hover. Give one job away. Praise it loud. Make one match and step back. That's the week. And if it feels like you gave something up, good. That feeling is the sound of you handing the jar to the center of the room where it was always supposed to sit. You're not giving less. You're finally teaching it to keep it flowing. So that's the third thread. And for a keeper, it might be the most important one in all five books. You don't lead the giving by being the giving. You lead it by getting it moving between other people and then having the rare strength to step out of the middle. Andre tried to be the jar, and a jar one person fills always runs dry, no matter how good his heart is. The day he set the jar in the center of the room and taught his people to fill it together, two things happened at once. He stopped drowning. And everyone else finally got to be needed instead of just helped. Lead the flow. Don't be the flow. Give one job away this week. Praise it loud. Make one match you step back from. And watch a little the flow start running in a place that used to run only through you. Now, maybe part of you is still standing there with your arms crossed, thinking, sure, but the second I let go, the takers will run the place into the ground. Good. Bring that with you, because that's the most honest doubt a keeper has, and it's exactly where we go next. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.